This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Kathmandu, Nepal, where we've now been for about 2 weeks. This has been a great city for hanging out, so long as the air pollution doesn't get too awful. We've had pretty clear skies with nice views of the mountains on many days, but the air quality index, it runs between about 150 and 180, which, in a word, is toxic. Unfortunately, seeing the world, especially the cities, it often involves unhealthy air. For us, it's not so bad because we have the luxury of being able to fly away. But for a lot of folks, the poor air quality, it has a huge impact on their health. Spending time in a place like this can help one remember to be grateful for clean air. Too often, I just take these things for granted, and Kathmandu, well, it has really served as a good reminder.
It's time for your tech tip. I have shared my love of keyboard shortcuts before. Mastering a few key combinations is a huge productivity upgrade. I know, you're getting excited just hearing about it. Wow, Ned, tell me more about your Pokemon card collection. That's so interesting. But I understand that some of you have more important things to do than read user manuals and memorize some 10-key sequence to add a thumbs up emoji to the end of every single message you send in Microsoft Teams. So my tip today is not about shortcut acrobatics. Oh no, we are going way dorkier. Sometimes memorizing lengthy key commands or carrying out some convoluted tap dance just to save yourself a few seconds of menu hunting doesn't seem worth the effort. But what if we could dedicate a button to a repeated task that we need to perform all the time? Maybe it's a shortcut inside of our video conferencing software to mute our mic or raise our hand, a dedicated button for starting and stopping your time tracking program, or just a way to hide the solitaire window with a single key press. Whatever it happens to be, dedicated keys and controls can make a big difference to your daily workflow and getting the most out of your software. There are two ways to go about giving yourself dedicated buttons for specific tasks: software solutions that let you remap keys on your existing keyboard, and hardware solutions that give you a set of additional buttons, and sometimes even sliders, dials, and screens to launch programs, perform key combinations, or even run more complex scripts with a single press. If you are on a Windows machine, Microsoft actually makes a tool to let you do some basic remapping along with a few other nifty features. It's called Power Toys, and you can find it in the Microsoft Store. Once it's installed, you create new entries by pressing the key you want to act as your one-button trigger, then select the combination of keys that you want it to perform. On macOS, there are some very rudimentary key manipulation options in the settings, but for what we want, you will be better off with a free tool called Carabiner Elements. That's spelled Carabiner. Getting it set up can be a little techy, but you can do some advanced things beyond normal remapping. I've used software to remap some extra keys on my keyboard for basic things like switching browser tabs, flicking back and forth between full screen apps, and jumping to the first or last letter of a block of text with a single key. Don't think that you have to come up with something complicated. Even a dedicated button for opening a new email or adding a note to a client matter can be incredibly handy. Lots of dedicated and third-party keyboards these days come with software that lets you create macros, shortcuts, and remappings too. But what about hardware options? Dedicated keys and buttons for opening apps and documents, triggering shortcuts, and immediately closing out Instagram and opening Excel. These external hardware devices are often called macro pads, and they can be as basic or as complex as you want. I've seen models that just have three keys on them, hard-coded to cut, copy, and paste, all the way up to fancy ones with individual customizable little screens for each button. If you want to experiment with one, I would recommend thinking about your use case. You can get tiny wireless ones with a few keys that are easy to toss into your bag, larger wired ones with a lot more, and more unorthodox options meant for creatives and designers that go beyond just push-button convenience. A popular range at the moment are the Megalodon macro pads. They are available in a variety of configurations. Their mid-sized option is about $80 and has 16 extra keyboard-like keys and 3 rotary knobs that you can assign to just about anything you want with web-based programming software. Now, a word to the wise, if you are one of the cool kids, when you are dealing with computer input, you call rotating knobs encoders. Why exactly? That I don't know, but it's advice I have taken to following, because apparently in other English-speaking countries, knob is slang for something that I wouldn't generally mention on a podcast, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea when I say that I've been fiddling with them all day. And these encoders are useful for all kinds of things. Adjusting volume is the obvious one, but using them for scrolling pages, zooming in and out on images and documents, and particularly for operating teleprompter software makes a lot of sense too. If you're getting your hands dirty with video and audio editing and playback, being able to scroll through a timeline with a rotary encoder is a lot more intuitive and exact than trying to click around with a mouse or trackpad. And if you're after something that looks a little bit less like a gaming accessory and more like a professional tool, the Zense Labs Quick Keys is about $100 and has 8 buttons and a rotary encoder, plus a small OLED screen telling you exactly what each button does. In a similar vein, the XP Pen Key Dial is a very low-profile device with 10 laptop chiclet-style keys and a rotary encoder. It doesn't have a screen, but it's wireless with Bluetooth, and it's usually around $50. And if you just want to wow everyone in the office with how prepared you are for the next Zoom call, or give up law altogether and take a shot at live streaming yourself playing Fortnite for a living, the Elgato Stream Deck line, Razer Stream Controller line, or Loop Deck Live series of controllers give you a bay of tiny individual screens dedicated to launching apps, controlling settings in AV equipment, adjusting audio levels, and more. They may not make you more productive than the simpler options, but it will be like getting to play a round of Candy Crush every time you launch your calendar. I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. Imagine that you're fishing. You can't force the fish to bite, but you can create conditions that make the fish want to bite. The same goes for guiding potential clients and clients to decisions, whether it's choosing your law firm or making significant life choices. There's an old saying, when you say it, it's an opinion. When they say it, it's a fact. This adage, it holds a powerful truth in effective communication and decision making. An example, suppose you tell a potential client, you should decide about retaining our firm within the next week. Well, that's your opinion, and it won't always go down easily with your prospective client. They may feel rushed or pressured, but turn it around. What if instead of saying something, you ask something? What if you were to ask, when do you think it would be best to make a decision about hiring the law firm? And they reply, well, I should decide next week. Well, suddenly, it's a fact in their mind. The decision carries a lot more weight because it originated with them, not with you. Another scenario. You believe a client needs to confront someone about a problem. It's going to be hard for them, and you want to push them to do it. You could just outright say, you need to confront them, but that's just your viewpoint. You'll likely get something back from them like a, oh, I don't know, and then you'll get a series of but this and but that's. There's a good chance that they'll resist your advice, but what if instead, again, you turn it around? What if you ask, what do you think is the best way to handle this? Well, if they conclude that confrontation is necessary, it becomes their resolution, not your suggestion. That makes the confrontation a lot more likely to happen. This idea, this approach is grounded in the principle of self-persuasion. When people arrive at conclusions on their own, they're much more likely to be convinced and to act upon those conclusions. It's like planting a seed and watching it grow. The idea takes root in their minds. It flourishes into a decision that they own and that they believe in. But then the question becomes, how do you steer conversations to enable self-persuasion? Well, it's all about asking the right questions and then being a good listener. Your role in these conversations, it shifts from you being an advisor to you being a facilitator of thought. Instead of giving answers, you provide the framework for clients to discover their own answers. It's about you leading them to the pond and letting them fish rather than you handing than the fish. People are a lot more committed to what it is that they say than what it is that they're told. This approach, it fosters a sense of ownership and responsibility in the decision-making process. When they articulate the path forward, it becomes a commitment, not just a consideration. But wow, holding myself back and asking questions instead of giving advice, well, that has never been easy for me. But forcing myself to do it, it has proved incredibly valuable. I've had lots of clients make their own decision to hire our law firm rather than me having to push and pull them to that decision. More importantly, I've had lots of clients do the things that they needed to do in their lives to get their problems solved. Clients who feel that they arrived at decisions themselves, they're more satisfied, they're more confident in their choices. This is a subtle yet powerful shift from you imposing opinions to you facilitating the client's self-discovery. So the next time you're in a position to guide someone toward a decision, and that's likely to happen for you today, try something different. Resist the urge to dictate. Instead, ask insightful questions and then listen. You're not just helping them to make a decision, you're empowering them to own and act on that decision. Remember, when it comes out of your mouth, it's an opinion, but when it comes out of theirs, it's a fact. Help them to articulate the path to their action. It's not just about getting a bite. It's bigger than that. It's about teaching them to fish. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Kathmandu, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there. I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.